Father God, right now, I pray that that everyone's eyes be open, their ears be open, their hearts be open, Lord God, that they'll be able to receive the word that you have for them right now, Lord God. I pray that the guidance they receive will make them grow greater than what they are today, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. The message, I'm going to tell you the title straight up front. The message I'm going to teach today is Don't Settle. Darius, when you put it up there, be sure to put an exclamation point at the end of it, because I really want it to be Don't Settle. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. When I was talking to my dad earlier, and when I was and I was on the phone with him, and I told him this, what I was teaching. He reminded me of a story that he told us a while ago. Years back, I had to be 5 at the time. But I remember him talking about when he was building his house that he's in now. He was going to different banks, trying to get approved to build the house. And a couple of the banks did not approve him. So they were on a plane heading back home, and they decided on the plane, they was like, well, maybe we'll go ahead and downsize. We'll make the plan a little bit smaller, and we'll go from there. And he said, the Lord told him in a loud voice, don't settle for less, for I have provided for you to have the best. And so when he heard that, he said, all right, Lord, I'm here. I'm here with you. And he decided to go with the original plan. See, we tend to try and compromise a lot in our lives. We're trying to get them to compromise a lot for our lives. And I know most of us don't believe in and think that they're on the right track, but most of us are settling right now. Most of us have the mindset of settling. If you go to Philippians 3, we're going to start with verse 1. But before we get to the scriptures, I want you to understand a thing. I've said this so many times when I've taught. I am a person of perception. I like to make sure that we can see things the way they need to be seen in the Word of God. That's why I always try to break down as much as I can. I try to ask questions and not get stuck in the way the scripture is portrayed in the religious standards. So what I'm gonna need y'all to do today is go ahead and close that religious textbook you got right now and put it up on the shelf for me right quick. I'm serious, close the book. Close the book and put it on the shelf right now. Because what I'm gonna show you, I need you to understand that we tend to take what we know, and God can't show us what he knows. When we always take what we know, and it blocks what God knows. So I need you to close those religious books and let's get back to the Word of God as if we'd never seen it before. So we're going to look at Philippians 3, and we'll start with verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Now, I did my research on these words, beware. It means to be aware of, to acknowledge, to see that it's there. Beware of dogs. Dogs, in the Strong's translation, that means impure mind. A man of impure thoughts. Not of lustful thoughts. Because instantly when we think impure, we always think we straight up lustful thoughts. No, impure thoughts. Impure thoughts are thoughts that are out of the will of God. So he's saying beware of the impure thoughts. Beware of the evil workers. When we see evil, we always think evil. But what I'm trying to say is it's what's out of the will of God. That's evil. If it's not in his will, if not in his way, it's evil. No matter how slight it is. So that's what it's talking about, out of the will of God. Beware of the evil out of the will of God workers. That means people who are trying to work outside of the will of God. And he says, be aware of the concision. Concision, it means to cut off, to mutilate. It's the unnatural order of things. It's the unnatural working outside of the will of God. It's when you work outside of the will of God, you get cut off from the will of God.
That's good.
So these three things are basically focusing on the will of God. Yes, beware of dogs, the impure thoughts. Beware of the evil workings trying to work outside of the will of God. And beware of the concision, the cut off from the will of God. We have settled. We have gotten comfortable with the world standards. How have we done that? We have put ourselves in a position to fight for our peace. Meaning we've tried to have everything okay ourselves. We fight for the right to have, I hate to use this song because I do like this song, but this is how I fight my battles. We try to fight our battles and try to win our battles through our efforts. Our abilities. And that's, that. When we get to that point, we realize we try to fight for the peace. We try to fight for what we want in life. And then we realize we can't win it. So that's when we start to compromise. That's when we start becoming like, oh, maybe I could use a smaller house instead of the bigger house. Instead of sticking to the original plan. So when we start to fight, we start to compromise and accept less than what God has for us. You're going to see it later on in these verses, but it says, I'm going to say it like this. We have become confident in our flesh. We are trying so hard to be, so hard to get, so hard to have, that we lose sight of the fact that we already have,
yes, sir.
That we already got,
yes, sir.
That we already are.
Yes, sir.
And it gets to the point we're trying to fight for this peace so bad that we forget that we have mistaken the world's peace for God's peace. We think that the comfortability in this world of being in a nice house, you know, nothing's going on, nothing's wrong, we're okay with everybody. Everything is okay. Everything is groovy, it's great. We've gotten to this point where we think that is peace. That is not peace. That is settling. Let me show you. Go ahead and go to John 14. Glory to God. Go ahead and go to verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now look at verse 27. It says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. My peace I give unto you. Not as peace of the world that the world giveth. That means that the world's peace and God's peace are two separate things. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. We've come to that consensus, right? Okay. So, what is God's peace? He said it in the previous verse. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. God's peace is not a tranquil peace. God's peace is a confidence in him. We find the confidence through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter. We don't find, we're not supposed to find comfort in everything's okay. We're supposed to have confidence in whenever we're told to do something, we go towards it and there's nothing going to stop us. Because when God tells us to do something, he's covering us when we go there. That's the peace he's talking about. God's peace is never about making it. What I mean by making it, the world system has made it seem like we have to get to this certain level where we have enough money, where we're living in a big old mansion, and we're living the life. That's that version of making it. That's that version of making it. God's peace is never about that. God's peace is never about, oh, we're making it to this level, and here we are. It's not about that. I remember an apostle said something, and it stuck with me. It stuck with me for a very long time. Actually, we have it. I think we've seen it before. We've shown it before. We have a canvas on our wall in the media room with this saying, a picture of apostle and this saying on there. It says, keep searching because there is always more. There is always more for God to give. There's always more that God wants to give you. We tend to think, I'm jumping ahead. So the peace of God is us moving towards the purpose of God and not worrying about what tries to come at you. Wherever the Lord takes me, he's got me covered. Okay, so we've noticed, we've understand what the peace of God is now. It's to continue going on forward. Now, how do we operate in the peace of God? Let's go back to Philippians 3. Philippians 3, So, you know, verse 2 says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, and beware of the concision. Verse 3, I feel like it's the counterpart of verse 2. It says, for we are the circumcision, meaning we are the called. We are, circumcision is the cutoff too, am I right?
Yeah.
So that means instead of the cutoff from God's will, we get cut off from the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why, okay, so it says the concision, then we go straight to the circumcision. But we are the circumcision, which worship God in the spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. These three things here is how you operate in God's peace. Now, again, like I said, we're going to close those religious textbooks, put them on the shelf. I want to break down the scripture. The first part, it says, the first of the three, which worship God in the spirit. Worship, in a strong dictionary, means to serve or to hire. That means to serve. I don't know what else I can tell you. It's to serve, to do what he tells you to do. So we must serve God in the spirit. In order to operate. Okay, we got to take a step back because we know that in order to operate in the spirit, we must be aligned. God, in order for God to operate in our spirits, we must have our soul aligned properly for us to operate here in the world, right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. So in order for us to serve in the spirit, our souls must be aligned with the service. So we must have the mindset that everything we are and everything that we have is for the operation of God's will. Again, I say keep searching because there's always more. Before I get to the other two, I want to go to another scripture as well, just to understand how everything that we have to process everything that we have, everything that we are, everything that we do, our jobs, our livelihood, our gifts, our talents, our money. It all has to be for God.
Yes, sir.
Meaning, we have to understand that it's not for us. It's for the will of God.
Yes, sir.
I ain't hear too many amens for that one. It's all right. They would say, I'm not sure with that one. Let's go ahead and go to, I'm about to prove it to you right now. Let's go to, you can prove it earlier down in this chapter, but I want to prove it right here too in John 15. It says in verse 1, I am the true vine, And my father is the husbandman. If you don't know what a husbandman is someone who takes care of the vines, make sure that there's growth, make sure that it continues to produce. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Means cut off, concision. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. When he says purgeth it, purging means, and when it comes to like the vine, when I see vine, I think about grapes, like the way they're on the vine. The purging is taking off the grapes so they can grow more, taking off the fruit so they can grow more. So when we produce the fruit, we are the branches on God's vine, right? So we're producing the fruit every time we are operating God's will. And with that, we produce the fruit. We produce the harvest.
Yes, sir.
That's the gifts that we have. It's the money that we get. It's the promotions that we get in work and everything. So it's all fruit, benefits that we get from the work operating the will of God. When they're being pruned, when he says right there it's being pruned, it's not being taken away. It's a mindset shift.
Yes, sir.
It's a mindset shift to understanding that your gifts, your promotion, your money, everything that you have belongs to God, and that's God's way and will.
Yes, yes, sir.
It's supposed to be operating in God's will and way.
Yes, sir.
So that means, and that's how, when we operate and use those gifts and use the money that we have and everything that we have, when we use that, that's how we produce more fruit.
Yeah.
That's how we grow.
Yeah.
If we let go, we grow.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. No, you said something great this now. I know, thank you. God, no. If we don't let go, we don't grow. Sometimes you just got to encourage yourself, Lord Jesus. Being pruned is the understanding that everything I have belongs to the will of God. That being said, we have to understand that in every, we like to, even sometimes I do too, we like to carve out time for God. At the beginning of the day, I'm just gonna pray these 15 minutes. Read a daily devotional, and then go about my day. I'm gonna pray every hour on the hour. I'm gonna pray about 10 minutes. Keep my spirit strong. Glory, hallelujah. We tend to separate God from our lives without even realizing it. We have to understand that God is, there we go, that's it right there. Never stop searching because there is always more. There's always more harvest. There's always more blessings. There's always more for God to have for you, but you have to let go in order for it to come to you.
Yes, sir.
what was I? Holy Spirit, come on. Oh, I was saying we carve out time. We carve out time for God. We always like to have that separate moment for God while we have to deal with our job. But that's not the truth. Every step we take, every move we make, he'll be watching you. No, it's tricking a man. I'm sorry. Every step we take and every move we make, we're supposed to have a step for God. Every single operation we have is supposed to be operated. I'm supposed to take a step back and say, God, what you want me to do with this? I ain't taking a step with this because, God, I need to figure out what you want with this. I'm not spending this money. I'm not using this seed to go. I'm not using this money to go on a cruise without you telling me, Lord God, what you want me to do with it first. See, when God gives you more gifts, there's more. There are so many gifts on the inside of you that you have never seen before yet. There's so much on the inside of you that you have not seen. And I wish you would talk about your age. I wish you would talk about your age, talking about something I'm too old for. Nah. How you going to talk about that with the God of the impossible on your side? There are so many gifts in you. This made me think about, it's 2024. Everybody's used a GPS by now. Am I correct? God has, when you set a destination in a GPS, you follow what the GPS says. Sometimes we miss a turn. It happens. But the GPS acknowledges that you made that wrong turn and recalibrates to put you on the right track. You missed that left turn. That's right. But go up here and make that left right here. That's how God operates in your life. It doesn't matter if you make that wrong turn. As long as you follow in the will of God, he's going to make you turn in the right direction. I remember. Okay. This is a joke on me, I swear. I remember. It was a few years back. We were in Orlando. Dad was ministering in Orlando, and I had to drive him. And I put on the GPS. We were at the Ritz-Carlton in Orlando, and that one's on Disney property. If y'all can catch where I'm going right now with this. So I'm in the car, my brother's in the car, my trail's in the car with me, and Dad's in the back. We're driving, and we just started. We're driving, I said, okay, we're gonna, and I'm so used to the, I don't know, I guess I was so used to the route because we've gone so many times, I just was not paying attention and I missed the turn. In my mind, I said, oh Lord, I missed the turn. But I'm not going to say nothing because it's going to recalibrate. I'm not going to say nothing. We're going to be fine. We're going to make a turn right here. We're going to be okay. He ain't going to know that. I'm not going to say nothing. Right? So the way the road works, it was a big curve after the missed turn. It's a big old curve. And it's a bunch of trees, so you don't see what's coming up. So I hit the curve. And I was like, I'm not saying nothing. And my trail noticed I just made the road turn too. And we both were like, we ain't hearing a thing. Now we're just going to make that turn and it's going to be all right. We're going to be back on track. I made the turn and you see a big old sign that says Epcot. We were pulling to Epcot. And Dad looked, he said, what in the world? And I was like, sir, I'm sorry. I made the wrong turn. I apologize. But, you know, I had to go talk to the people because there was no way to turn around. So you had to go straight through the parking lot. So you had to talk to the people like, yeah, I'm not coming to Epcot. I'm just made a wrong turn. I got to go through here. So it was a whole thing of embarrassment. I was embarrassed. It was like, oh, my God, what did I do? But even though I had to go through that embarrassment, even though I made the wrong turn, even though I went through the wrong place and I was acknowledged by my dad, even though I was ridiculed by it, I still got back on the right track. I'm trying to make sure you understand that God can use you no matter where you are, no matter what has happened to you, no matter how low you are. God is still going to be able to use them gifts that are inside of you. You just got to understand and know that God is there for you. And if you're in the will of God, no matter what, he's the God of the impossible. So that means anything is possible. All right, that was a sidetrack. Sorry, we get back on the road. Get back on the road, get back on the trail. Reroute. So we were at, so we were talking about the fruit and how we understand that every time we produce, we have to give it up to God. That's why it's pruned from us. We have to prune. Have to understand that that's not for us. It's for God's will. So whenever we get something, we have to understand that we have to use it for God. Yes. I'm not saying you're not going to enjoy it. Enjoy the benefits. Yes. But you enjoy it while understanding, okay, God, what you want me to use this for?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right, we've gotten that far. And that's why he says, right, he started switching up. In the scripture, he started saying later on, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can it, except it abideth in me. I started saying abide a lot in this section of the scripture. So I was like, okay, well, we'll go find out what abide means. Abide means, it also means to be one with God. It means to be one with God, but it also, that's the one we all know. That's the one we all know. It's to be one with God. Abide in me and I in you. It means we become one. That means we're going the right path. That's it. We're there. But also, it means, I saw that was the first definition. Second definition, it means to wait. To wait upon the Lord. So when we abide in him, it means to wait on his instruction to do what we got to do with his seed, with his fruit, what he wants us to do. And that's how we produce fruit. If we don't wait on him, we're not producing fruit. He says it here in verse 6. If a man abide not in me, if a man does not wait on me, if a man wastes his fruit and not wait on me, he is cast forth as a branch. That means he is cut off and is withered. When I'm here withered, I see that means that we ain't getting no more fruit. That means you ain't getting nothing no more. So it's withered. You've settled. You settled. You ain't getting nothing else. And men gather them and cast them into the fire. You think you're talking about hell, but it's not hell. And then you're burned. You get burned. He's not talking about hell. He's talking about hell. Men gather them and put them back in the world system. To their settled lives. To their non-growing lives. And they're burned. Ooh. Ooh. God, I spent a lot of time on this. So, we must understand And we must know that in order for us to grow, in order for us not to settle, we have to understand that God's will is the only way. We have to know that whenever we receive the benefits from God, whenever you receive those benefits from God, whenever you start to acknowledge the gifts that God has on the inside of you, we got to take that step back and be like, all right, Lord, what you want me to do with this? We can't get excited because we're an excitable bunch. We are a very excitable bunch. Whenever we get something, ooh, let's get a, don't make us get a promotion. Big ball of shot caller. We're gonna start spending money up. Look, you gotta understand, okay, Lord, I take a step back.
Yes, sir.
And that's why there's steps. There's steps to these. There's levels. Because it's an understanding of letting go. This is why Apostle is the way he is. This is why Apostle is where he is now. Everything Apostle has, his house, his cars, his RV, his plane, is not his. And he knows it's not his. He understands that it's all for the operation of the will of God. The Lord could tell him, I want you to give it all up. I want you to give up everything. And my dad will do it. You know why he'll do it? Because he knows that God has something else for him in store. If he tells him to give it all up, the rich young ruler. That's what we think of the rich young ruler. See, the rich young ruler had to give it up. But he didn't realize that God was going to provide more for him on this side. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. So we have to give it up. We have to give it up. It's not just for getting. It's for the love of God. That's one thing you understand, too. It's not about the getting. It's not about the receiving. It's about the giving. It's about the doing of what God's. It becomes. God wants us to get to the point of giving. Didn't we learn this?
Yes.
Didn't we learn this last week?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So we get to the point of giving to where it becomes receiving. And it becomes second nature. That's why the scripture says where it says it at. I saw the scripture and I'm trying to. It's in John 15. May you love one another. I love you. Great love, no man. So if you keep my man, you're by me. Sorry, I'm looking for it. Give me a second. Verse 7. I'll pass it all up. Pass it all up. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. The only reason that you ask what you will, because you're in the will of God. Yeah. That's why it shall be done unto you, because you're underneath the will of God. Your will and his will, the same. So when you ask for it, God's going to provide it for you. So if you wait on me and my word abides in you. See those two words? Abide and abide. It's waiting on the Lord and his word abiding in me, his promises that you know. The promises that we understand through his word, the word of God. Once we have that on the inside of us, we know that God is going to provide for us any step of the way, any way we have to go, God is going to provide.
Yes.
So it's abide and abide.
Yes.
Wait on him and accept everything he says.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. Say, don't settle. Say it like you mean it. Don't settle.
Don't settle.
I want you to remember that every single time. Every single time you got to make a decision about something. Every single time you got to remember, don't settle. Before you make any decision, you got to remember, don't settle. No matter how the little foxes. So no matter how small it is, you got to remember it's still for the will of God. It's still for the will of God. So you have to remember, take a step back. No matter how small it is. So back to the three things. That was part one. Which the other two we've covered already. Worship in Philippians 3:3. We can go back there real quick. I'm about to close, so. The three things. The first one, worship God in the spirit. That means serve God in the spirit. That means producing the fruit, letting go of the fruit, which I think that's what rejoicing in Christ Jesus is. It's being thankful for what God has given us. Being thankful for what Christ has done on the cross for us. Understanding that that everything that I have is because of what Christ did. And that's how you acknowledge and let go. Because you understand that everything is from that cross. So that's why we rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. We start to have no confidence in the flesh when we start operating in the will of God. And we start understanding that we're not a part of the world system. It doesn't matter what policies they put out. It doesn't matter what the government tries to do. It's not a part of our world. It's not a part of our system. No matter what they try to throw at us, as long as we're walking and operating in the will of God, as long as we're operating and walking in the will of God, doesn't matter what they throw at us. Throw anything at us. Throw anything at us. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We are going to constantly walk, and none of that stuff is going to touch us. So worship God in the spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. So I want you to remember this every step of the way of your life, understanding that you have more on the inside of you that needs to be produced. You have more on the inside of you that needs to be produced. We just have to understand to let go. Once you let go, let go and let God. Once you let go and let God use you in every aspect of your life. I know it's hard to comprehend, but it's every aspect of your life. You might be thinking, how you gonna operate in my work? I don't know. That's where you get the revelation from the Word of God. But you follow the Holy Spirit. I can't give you that answer. That's the Holy Spirit. That's you got to follow the Holy Spirit. Yes, sir. But he will give you an answer. And he will give you a way. Yes, and you have to be, that's why he says be aware. Because you have to be aware, be present of God in your operation of your life. You have to be careful. That's why the Holy Spirit is there. Because you have to be careful and understand that you could be doing something at work and then something happens and you understand, bro, that's the spot right there. Right. That's the spot I want you to work at right there. Right. This situation right here, this is what I was waiting on you to get to.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But if you're not open and not willing to have God on every single aspect of your life, you're going to miss that spot and you're going to miss that seed. You're going to miss that fruit that is there, that benefit that is there. Don't settle.
Don't settle.
Say, don't settle.
Don't settle.
Don't settle.
Don't settle.
Amen.